Dr. Steve Salzman joins us. Your questions for Steve, 312-981-7200. Dr. Steve, I got to share this with you, okay? I don't know if you caught this. I don't know if you caught this. I just have to share this with the listeners and you. SNL, I feel, totally captured the way folks are acting in the COVID world. And many of us, all of us, potentially, are guilty of this. I believe we're all trying to be safe. Yes, we're all good. We have good hearts and we want to do the right thing. We're talking like we're totally being safe, but not always really acting in a totally safe way. And here's a little skit. Here's the skit. We're going to listen to some audio here from SNL.
Well, I've been super safe.
Same here.
Me too.
I have.
So then, masks off.
God, I feel so free.
We've all been so good. We deserve this.
Totally. We have. And full disclosure, not a big deal. Angie and I went to P.F. Chang's for her birthday. We ate outdoors, relaxed.
Oh my God, that's cool. Nothing. You're fine.
Yeah. Man, I've been crazy with this COVID stuff. I haven't left my house at all. I mean, I've been to the grocery store and the laundromat.
Yeah, of course. Food, clothes.
And obviously, I'm still doing my wrestling club, so.
Yeah, but that's just a group of what? 20, 30 really nice guys?
Wrestling a few nice guys? Dude, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing everything right.
Exactly. I haven't hung out with anyone outside of my pod in almost a year.
Oh my gosh, I feel you. I'm on quarantine burnout.
Yeah, it's just me, my wife, my brother. His wife, obviously their neighbor, his brothers, my grandparents, and their nursing home. Oh, and I go into work.
Sorry, what is it that you do again?
I'm a mouth masseuse. I massage mouths.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, you're not kissing them, right?
Just hello and goodbye. And sometimes while I massage them.
Oh, gee, remind you of anyone? I mean, like, okay. I think feel like if you put a camera on all of us for the past year, a few of us would have been doing everything right, but it's so funny just to listen to. Got a kick out of that.
God, that's depressing.
It makes you think. It's like, ooh, it's been a year. I mean, you know, it's a long time. So here we are. We've got vaccines. They're here. They're being distributed. More on the way. There's lots of good news. And I do want to ask you something, Dr. Steve. This has come up before, but I'm seeing some news about it now. That kids right now, my understanding is they're not okayed for any of these vaccines, but that they're doing trials to try to get them approved for them.
Right. So we talked about this in the past, but diving a little deeper into things, Pfizer and Moderna are testing on patients currently 12 and older, and they hope to have the results by summer. And depending on how the vaccine performs, then, of course, they'll test it into the younger populations. Also of note, J&J, Novavax, and AstraZeneca are also planning testing. However, I believe they're a little further behind. But, you know, again, thank God certain things, right? 2% of the children who get COVID require hospital care, not a larger number. And 227 children in the United States have died of it. So, you know, thank God this population is not being ravaged like some other populations. Currently with Pfizer, it's 16 and older. And they recruited about 2,200 or so patients between the ages of 12 and 15 for their study. And when you look at Moderna, in December, they also started testing the age group of between 12 and 17. And their plan in this phase three trials is to enroll about 3,000 volunteers within that age group, that 12 to 17. And then later in the year, Moderna is planning on doing 6 months to 11-year-old population. And also, going on with all this, University of Oxford also launched a trial study to look at the safety and efficacy of the AstraZeneca vaccine in children as young as six, and that's with 300 volunteers. Yes, we talked about the AstraZeneca not working for the South African variant. Different situation, however, and they're testing it in a younger crowd. So you could see how there are multiple vaccines that are now currently being tested in that population. But again, like I said, it's summertime until the FDA reviews it, and it's probably towards, you know, October-ish, November, where really the FDA probably gives the green light to go ahead and vaccinate that population. It's coming. Yeah. It's not there yet.
Right. And as you point out, it isn't the hardest hit group, but it just sort of, you know, it's all about this back to school stuff. And people are saying, well, at some point, will they be able to get vaccinated? And I guess that's interesting to hear that those trials are underway. Something else. OK, so Gwyneth Paltrow, breaking celebrity COVID news, reveals she had COVID way back in the beginning. That's what she says, way back when it started. And that she kept it secret. She managed to do that for all this time. And however, now she wants to tell all about it and that she is suffering these side effects that you have talked about before. 1 year later, a healthy woman in her 40s is, this is what's happening, Dr. Steve.
Yeah, listen, younger people are also affected. Hey, Anna, should we share what I texted you about? Maybe she should use some of her eggs to cure it. No, kidding, Gwyneth. I'm kidding.
You were saying that she's kind of attention starved at the moment, and you were sort of making fun of that.
Well, yeah, between her eggs and the insane narcissism, yeah, it's ugly. But
it brings attention to a very real thing, which is she's got this brain fog, she's got this long tail fatigue, they call it, and her doctor tells her, hey, there's a long road to healing for you, and that's just the way it is.
Right. They actually don't even know what that road is, if he's being, if that physician, he or she is being honest. But I just saw literally 2 hours ago, I saw a patient who had COVID and still is having the brain fog terribly. And this is a very common symptom that so many of our patients are suffering from. And the answer is, when is it going to get better and go away? Nobody knows. It's not been studied yet, but it is very clear that there is a significant portion of the patient population who become infected and sick with COVID that are developing these longer lasting symptoms, the loss of taste and smell, this whole thing with exhaustion and fatigue. And there are all these litany of other complaints that people are having. So, again, it's a roll of the dice. If you get this, something might not happen to you and the next person, they might be on death's doorstep.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It doesn't seem to matter if you were necessarily healthy going in or not. Some people feel young and they're not going to bother me. And then even though they had a mild case of COVID later on, they still are dealing with some of the lingering effects. So that's interesting to me, something to keep in mind.
It is interesting, and there are so many patients, too, who've had these viral prodromes in the past. And, it brings to light, because I remember going through medical school and when we would see patients on the infectious disease service, these patients would get hit with all types of different viruses, some identified, some not identified. And many of them would have, I'm thinking back now, a lot of these same symptoms. When the body gets smashed, physiologically, things break down. And you could see how COVID doesn't affect one or two areas. Everything's open for business when COVID comes in and invades the house. So dangerous.
Good way to put it. Hey, we'll take questions for Dr. Steve, 312-981-7200. We'll get to that. I want to talk vaccine. And then you have some ideas. I hope we have time to get to this about immune system builders. More with Dr. Steve Salzman. He's at Green Care Medical. He's Chief Medical Officer and Green Care Medical CBD. Back with Dr. Steve, taking your questions. The doctor is in. Ask away, 312-981-7200. 773 says, my 38-year-old daughter keeps getting recurring COVID toes. We're talking about symptoms and that age doesn't seem to be a factor. It can happen to anybody, that you can still have some of those lingering side effects. Anna, ask the doctor what he knows about, about autoimmune conditions. This has come up before. I want to ask you about this. Several listeners have asked about this. Anything I should know about the vaccine or dangers of COVID? What can you tell us on that, Dr. Steve?
Okay, we keep getting asked this question, and I assume there is more than several people out there with multiple potential autoimmune diseases or issues. Let's be very clear about this. People with HIV and those with weakened immune systems can receive the vaccine. Again, the info about safety for these messenger RNA, for Pfizer and Moderna, for these vaccines, for people who have weakened immune systems in the group is not yet available, right? Because they've only studied a certain, set of population, but now there's been mass inoculation. But people living with HIV infection were absolutely included in those clinical trials. And the data, specific to that group's not available, but they were included in people who initially in that 30,000 or 50,000 people that they saw had gotten inoculated with the vaccine. But again, what people with weakened immune systems should be aware of is the potential for reduced immune responses to the vaccine. And of course, that being said, the other thing that's extremely important is to remember that when you get the vaccine, you have to check with your physician first if you're significantly immunocompromised or if you're a transplant patient taking anti-rejection drugs. Like, things that can potentially weaken your immune system acutely, I think these patients go into their own separate population. But a stable patient who has an autoimmune disease that doesn't have necessarily, any acute issue going on absolutely should get the vaccine for, you know, many reasons. And that's the patient population that needs to be concerned. If they get COVID, something bad will happen, or potentially something worse than someone who doesn't have an autoimmune disease. So talk with your doctor. But like I said, once again, the majority of people who are hearing our voice probably fit into the category of you should get the vaccine. The list of people that shouldn't is very, very small.
Okay. And here's one that's sort of related to what you just said. 815, Anna, can you ask if we know if the vaccine affects reproduction at all?
Okay. Let's be clear about this. Everybody needs to listen. The CDC has come out with a statement saying that vaccine can be administered to pregnant patients. And of course, pregnant patients have to assess risks. Like, for instance, what do they do? What's their occupation? If you're a frontline worker, this is somebody who needs to get vaccinated. And the other thing is, you need to ask yourself even more so, what damage will be done if you get COVID? And that's important. There are no adverse effects that they've seen in patients who have who are pregnant or nursing who have gotten the vaccine. There's no evidence of reproductive issues. There's no need to delay conception. There's no evidence that the vaccine reduces natural fertility. There's no evidence that it harms either the placenta or the fetus. You know, and it appears, like I had said in the past, I believe even Dr. Agus I heard talking about it, was that immunity may even be conferred through the breast milk. But studies are ongoing. But again, this is another whole separate thing we could get into, because with younger children and their immune systems aren't fully developed yet, this could potentially be, you know, an issue. And we don't know how long immunity would last, but there at least appears to be some transference from mother through the breast milk to child. So, you know, again, ask your physician. But I think, again, the majority of people who are pregnant are safe to get the vaccine. And it will. There is no evidence that it affects anything in terms of reproduction or in terms of harming mother, fetus, or anything else.
Okay. That is very, very clear. I mean, let me just follow up just very quickly, though. The long-term studies, they can't be known at this point. And I wonder if that sort of worries some people, too. You know, that's a concern I hear come up from thoughtful people who are concerned about whether or not they'll take this vaccine.
You know, but here's the answer back. Yeah, maybe be concerned at the very beginning, but let's talk about how many millions of Americans have now received vaccines, both Pfizer and Moderna. And the FDA is tracking it massively closely about what happens and what are the reactions and what, you know, who develops what. There's huge amounts of evidence. Let's look at another country. We talked about, I heard them talk about Israel, right? Another country that has large amounts of data. It works. The vaccine works. It's proving to be safe. The numbers they came out with are better than the FDA could have ever expected, could better than anyone would have expected. And like I said, it's the majority of people who are hearing my voice, when it is time to get the vaccine, whichever vaccine is offered to you, Moderna, Pfizer, whatever, take the vaccination. They are all effective, even AstraZeneca, by the way, but take that up because it's not even available and on the market. But Pfizer and Moderna, doesn't matter which one, take it, get it, the majority of people. Obviously, check with your doctor, but the majority of people probably meet criteria to get it.
312, please ask the doctor if I can pick which vaccine should I get. Whichever you're offered first. Did I answer that right?
Correct. Whichever your arm is in front of when the needle is headed that way.
So really, there's no preference at all for any group or any individual, any type of subset of the population, that you don't really have any preference.
Nothing. The first one that's available, line up, get poked.
Okay. That's very clear. 847, what happened if you're scheduled for vaccine? Your nose is a little runny. You're not feeling so well, but maybe you don't think it's from COVID or anything like that. They're suggesting here it might be from an animal allergy. What do you recommend? Do you get the vaccine? I think this one's come up, too. If you're not feeling so good, you're under the weather, do you go in anyway and keep your appointment?
Right. I think, you know, that's a very much more difficult question to answer. I think it's variable case by case. If you think it's allergic mediated, like your eyes are running because you got exposed to a cat or something, there's no problem whatsoever. If you think you're developing an acute infection, like you have a bronchitis or you're developing a pneumonia or something like that, well, that's something different. But again, I would say that probably the majority of people who just have the sniffles and cold are probably okay to get it. But again, check with your physician. This is very case-by-case dependent.
Mm-hmm. Prednisone. I'm on prednisone, 708 says, for sinus infection. Do I have to delay taking the vaccine?
No, I don't think you have to delay taking the vaccine, but I would I don't know how much prednisone the person is on or how they're scheduling it. There are patients sometimes who are just given sort of these medial dose packs, which is a very quick taper. And then there are people that are on steroids for prolonged periods of time. Again, you know, probably that patient, I mean, I don't know, but they'll have to check with their doctor again, case by case. But I don't think a person who's stable and taking prednisone should delay getting the vaccination as well.
Okay, 847 says, my wife and I had COVID in December. I was in the hospital for 9 days. My wife was not. Now they're adult children, and their children, I believe, I'm trying to consolidate it, want to come to Michigan, where they live, to my house. Is it okay to hang out with them?
So wait, say that again, Anna. So
COVID. A couple that both had COVID. Right. Can their children and grandchildren come and hang out with them in their house?
Here we go again with risk tolerance. It's not, I don't mean it the way it's going to come out, but it's not about you. You absolutely probably have some immunity, but we don't know if the people that had COVID are potentially harboring virus. Maybe they're not sick. Maybe the vaccine's working, but we don't know if they're sort of these asymptomatic or silent transmitters, meaning that if they have enough virus, even though they're not sick, and they happen to sort of release those particles, they can potentially infect, those droplets can potentially infect any one of their family members. So this is a risk tolerance. It's much more concerning on the other end of things. Not for the people that had COVID, for the people that did not have COVID. That's the population that needs to be concerned. So, you know, risk tolerance, but you got to be careful. Just because you had COVID means little to nothing. It means you probably have some immunity, and that's it. Everything else we don't know. And we don't even know, like, what happens if one of these bad variants, you know, come back around. The virus is eventually, like we said, going to continue to mutate. And all of these new variants are going to come about as a function of what viruses do. But you want to, you know, this is why we vaccinate, because the quicker we can get everybody up and there's no host for the virus to continue to work itself out and become a better, stronger virus, it'll peter it out, or, you know, it'll set it down so that these spikes and these wild, you know, sick rates stop.
Yeah. 708, if you have positive rapid test and 2 days later a negative PCR, asymptomatic, is there a chance you still have COVID? I've had a lot of people say that. Okay, I had COVID. I went and got a negative test. When do you know you're truly, truly negative and, you know, it's a little more safe for you to head out to the grocery store and stuff like that?
You would assume, right? You would assume that the PCR test is the accurate one. But we've talked about this. Depending on what test and the parameters of the test, and there are now so many new tests on the market, there are all sorts of potential both false positives as well as false negatives. The PCR should be very, should be the sort of the gold standard. If I was going to go in, I think I have COVID to get tested, that's what you want. But, you know, who knows what that means? I guess the answer is that, you know, if you get an antibody test and stuff, see if you developed antibodies, you might be able to tell whether you had it or not. You know, but again, in this, if you have one positive, one negative, and it's all over the place, you take that person and say, you assume you have COVID, quarantine. That's the safest, easiest thing to do for them and the safest for everybody else around them.
Okay. Not much time left here, Dr. C, but I want to just bring something up that maybe you've noticed, too. A great observation out of our newsroom when they were saying that so many people clamoring to get this vaccine. Most of the vaccine being administered, they've found, especially those 65 plus, coming directly from their healthcare provider who reaches out to them, not from one of these independent sites or, you know, pharmacy type sites. They're getting it largely because their doctor's reaching out and getting them an appointment.
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I have lots of contact with community physicians, and I don't know any of them that are doing that. Honestly, I'll be very honest. I don't, but I'm sure. I hope that's the case, because I have long wanted to try to source the vaccine for my patients, call every one of my patients and say, we're vaccinating you. Here's the schedule. We start with the 80 or 90, and we work our way down. But I hope that's the case, Anna. How about, let me say that, even though I don't know that's the case, I pray that's the case. Because the truth is, I tell you all the time, and everybody, right? Your doctor needs to do two things. Needs to know what your name is, needs to know what the hell's wrong with you. And
right.
On top of that, you want to go to a trusted source, like your physician. So, oh my God, every physician that's listening, if you could source the vaccine and get it for your patient, everybody jump on board. I hope that's the case, Anna.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, and it seems to be working for folks. So to be continued, we'll learn more about that. See, we didn't get to the immune boosters again.
Can we get to anything? It's all good. I love it.
Well, we got a lot of questions for you. There are more here, so we'll, you know, to be revisited on Friday, Dr. Steve. We appreciate the time, you know. It's awesome to hear from you on this stuff.
I will see everybody on Friday.
All right, see you Friday.